This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Born Sequel and DB Snitch. DB Snitch is a once-off report service resulting in an in-depth examination of your existing database instances and recommendations to bring them up to industry standards, ensuring that your data is safe. DB Snitch gives you a comprehensive view of where your database currently stands, along with a customized game plan to get it to where it needs to be. Of course, Born Sequel offers both on-site and remote support. Find out more at bornsequel.ca/dbsnitch or by contacting Randolph West via email at info@bornsequel.ca with the keyword discover in the subject line. Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to discoveradn. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Matt McCabe, who goes by the pseudonym MTTMCCB on app.net. He lives in the UK and is an engineer by day and accidental web developer the rest of the time. When he's not looking after his little girl, he occasionally unwinds by watching Chinese TV shows from the 1980s. Please join me in welcoming Matt to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hi Jason, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
Felix gives us this handy ability to see at the bottom of our profile. So the exact date, I can't remember, but it was at the end of March. And I converted to a paid account at the end of July, I found. So about 4 or 5 months later.
Okay. And why did you join app.net?
I was trying to find that out, but I believe it was probably Brett Terpstra on his podcast mentioned it. I probably read about the Kickstarter, but didn't really get involved in that. I think that's the most likely reason. I couldn't find the exact one in my pocket reading. I was hoping that would give me a hint.
Okay. Can you tell us, why did you upgrade to a paid account?
It's pretty simple, really. I was finding that it was outgrowing the free account. Because when I joined it, the service was still invite-only, but they didn't open it up to free accounts. So I joined, it did take me about 4 or 5 months to find that I needed a larger account, and also really just wanted to support the service, because I really enjoyed interacting with the community, and in a way that I hadn't before. So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Okay. You use a pseudonym on app.net, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Can you tell us, where does MTTMCCB come from?
It's my name, really, but I just knocked out all the vowels. So where things like Flickr and Tumblr, they just knocked out the E at the end. I just got rid of them all. Partly, I wanted a shorter username, and also I just wanted one that would be unique on every service I use. So I wouldn't have to go through the pain of changing it or having an alternative because it's not available. Shortly before joining, I did the same on Twitter and also set up a domain in that name. I had a domain for maybe about 10 years, but I dropped that because I wasn't really associated with it anymore. I was doing web development when I got it, and after a long gap of not doing it, it just didn't have the best memories. So I got rid of it. and went with MTT MCCB.
Okay. Can you tell us, what would you like to see more of on app.net?
So what I'd like to see more on app.net is more differentiation from other services. So when it launched, Alpha was really much a clone of Twitter. And I'd say most of the big services since then and apps have been similar in the sense that they're really replicating an existing service out there. So I'd like to see something that differentiates it. And I think part of that would be perhaps more integration between the different apps, because they are all on one platform, and I think they really could benefit from overlapping a lot more. As we had the big announcement in the last week from the app.net leadership, that has really, I think, it spurred the community on in looking at alternatives, whether that's a completely new alpha or backing up or I guess mirroring the API. So if app.net were to disappear, we would be able to continue using the service, or simply just extending it and improving the service. On the community side of things, I'd really like to see groups being better organized. I get the feeling, and I don't know if this is correct, but I get the feeling that some of the tools that we have at the moment might not be helping with that, whether that's making sure everybody's kept up to date. So I don't see things like a pattern room as a good way of organizing groups at the moment. So I'm hoping that with the various app.net future and the looking at the API groups, they will consider those sort of issues and help us improve the service further.
Very interesting. All right, let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
That's a difficult question, I believe, because it's very hard to avoid cliche when you're talking about what I'd like to be known for. And I guess that's what I do. I do like to be known for avoiding a cliche. I guess what I do try and do in most of my life is not to try and take the easy way, and not to take things too seriously as well. As I've got a daughter now, I really consider this a lot more closely than I used to, because I guess it's what she's going to know me for. When she looks to her father, she's going to think hopefully positive thoughts. She's not going to be a daughter who spends her time hating her dad. So I'm hoping I'll be patient, understanding, and she'll see me as a fun-loving father, and that she'll be able to approach me with anything that she might come across in her life and chat it through with me. So, yeah, I hope to be known as a good person. That's the aim.
All right, yeah, I think a lot of us want to be known for the same.
Absolutely.
You have a large number of Chinese DVDs, and you also love Ho Fun noodles. Can I ask, how did you become interested in Chinese culture and food?
There's a few reasons, really. The first was when I was at university, I worked in a Chinese restaurant, and for a short period, I trained as a Chinese waiter, which is a very, I guess, efficient and attentive way of being a waiter. It's very hard to compare it to being a waiter in any other business, because there's incredible pressure. Unfortunately, I was terrible at it, so I stopped being a Chinese, or training to be a Chinese waiter, when it was a lady's birthday. I was serving the drinks on the table. I had the tray with all the drinks. I put the dad's drink, the child's drink, and I think they had another child on the other side, and the mother was on the far corner. So I leant over, and then unfortunately the glass tipped and splashed, hit the plate, splashed everyone on the table. And I think that was the end of my career as a Chinese waiter. After that, they put me further into the back room where I was pretty good at cleaning glasses.
Okay. So how did you go from that to watching Chinese dramas or Chinese movies?
Yeah, so that's probably that's where it started. I should probably say my wife's Chinese Canadian, so that probably influenced it quite a bit. Where she introduced me to a number of Chinese TV shows, mostly TV shows from the 80s on the channel called TVB, and they usually involved some form of kung fu. So I think that was part of the attraction as well.
All right. Are there any particular shows that you would recommend for somebody who is going to be interested or wants to become interested in Chinese TV?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I'd say the main ones were, I mentioned the ones from the 80s, Legend of the Condor Heroes, Return of the Condor Heroes, The Dragon Sword, and, oh, I can't remember what it's called now, but there's a trilogy of them, it's like the Condor Trilogy. They've got the sort of best storylines, and they've got some actors who pretty much went on to do better things with their careers. So that was between sort of 1983 and 1985. So I'd say they're good starting points, although there have been a few more recent ones that have been quite good as well. I think they've come out of a different studios, because I think TVB and what came out of Hong Kong was really at its peak in the 80s and early 90s. The more recent ones that have come out, one called Chinese Paladin, and there have been a few newer, either Wong Fei Hong or Yip Man stories. Those have been quite popular. I say Wong Fei Hong particularly has been popular for, well, since he came around the early 19th century, really. Stories of his legendary deeds.
Can you tell us about something you like?
Yeah, so it was going to be Chinese TV, but now I have to think of something else.
My apologies.
That's fine. The backup was kung fu. I've always enjoyed kung fu, whether it be watching it on TV or until I moved to Cardiff, because I was living about 500 miles north of here in Edinburgh. I was practicing a kung fu called Hung Ga, which is the kung fu that Wong Fei Hung practiced. It's a very traditional, well, that's probably a loaded word in kung fu, but I'll use it. It's a traditional style of kung fu where they pass down from Shaolin monks, and they try and keep it as pure as possible. So that means training in certain ways, things like, I don't know if you might have seen iron ring training. So you have rows of rings on your arms and you train with those. It's all about strengthening your core and your sort of ligaments, because a lot of what comes out of Hung Ga is the power and grounding in your stance. So the famous one is the horse stance, where it looks sort of like you're squatting, but believe me, if you have to hold that for 10 minutes, it gets incredibly painful. But it is absolutely a challenge. Unfortunately, I can't practice that where I am at the moment, because it's surprisingly, that was the only school in the country that does that one, that particular style. So I am looking out for another style kung fu to start, probably when my daughter gets a bit older and I have a bit more free time.
Have you participated in any kung fu tournaments?
No, I didn't get that good, unfortunately. I do know a few of my friends from the school did start getting into tournaments. I guess part of it, that part of it didn't really interest me. It's the sort of self-improvement and sort of focus that you bring to improving yourself, and also there was a good opportunity to help other people there. So even though I'd only been doing it for a few years, I was helping the younger recruits get up to speed on some of the form that you learn in the early days. So it was a really nice environment to be in, really. It was very much like a big family, so yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a good point for us to get to the final part of our show. And this is when we get to recommend some of the people that we find interesting and enjoy interacting with in our timelines. So could you tell us three people who you enjoy interacting with, as well as why?
Yeah, so it was difficult to choose. So what I've got at the moment, I've got a list of six people in front of me, and I hadn't chosen them beforehand, so based on our conversation so far, I'm going to try and figure out which is the best one to choose. I guess the first one is probably one of the newest people I follow, and I've interacted with him quite a lot recently. He's been quite a friendly guy. He's called Kieran Downey. He spells that C-I-A-R-A-N, and his handle has an extra D on the end, so C-A-R-A-N-D, Kieran Downey. He's a student, I believe, in the US, and he's a developer. He seems to be very knowledgeable and has sort of helped me as I'm trying to sort of upskill myself. So he has been very interesting. He's also been started to watch Arrow, which is a TV show I also watch. So it's been interesting because he's been pretty much live vlogging himself watching it, which has been quite funny because it's brought back some things I'd forgotten about, even though it wasn't that long ago. Yep, so he'd be the first one. The second one, I believe he's been on app.net for quite a while, and I think I checked. I think he's one of the first few people I had started following. His handle is Hekau, which is A-U. He does have his name, it's Chris Trismegistus. I'm sure I got that wrong, so sorry, Chris. I describe him as a metaller, so that's just what we call metalheads in this country, I'd say. I think he's based in New York, and he does a lot of things that are really interesting. He shares quite a lot of very interesting quotes that always sparks conversations or lead me to think of something in a different way. The conversations I've had with him have always been very insightful, and although he has probably disagreed with me on certain things, he's done it in a way that makes his stance very clear, and he doesn't take any prisoners, and when he's telling you the way things are or from his point of view, which is good to see, especially as he's doing it in a way that doesn't offend anyone really. Well, then saying that, occasionally posts a few things I'd say are not safe for work, which doesn't bother me, but it might bother other people. So probably just one thing. The last one I'd say would be John Grosvenor. Again, I've been following from quite early days, so it's probably coming up to a year now. He's an iOS developer. He's based in Tasmania, which is an island south of Australia. A lot of what he posts is his cooking exploits. So he's, apart from his iOS development, he seems to spend a lot of time cooking, particularly sourdough bread and I think it was Middle Eastern dishes, but the bread was interesting to me because at the time I was trying to get good at making bread, and particularly interested in sourdough bread as well. So I probably took the easy way out at the moment. I got a bread maker, but I've recently got a new oven, so I think I'm going to start picking up some tips and making better bread because I do enjoy that. Yeah, so I think those are the three. I think you will enjoy following every one of them.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those recommendations. And thank you again for being my guest today.
Thanks very much, Jason. And all the best with the podcast.
This concludes the 28th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Matt for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Born Sequel. Have a nice day.